This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk a little bit about primaries being a cheap date. Yes, that's the second time we're going to discuss being a cheap date on this show. The wife's name, the 17th Amendment. All that and so much more coming up this hour on Why Can't I Talk? I sound like Joe Biden on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Okay. So John Cornyn's out there in the news now. Senator John Cornyn of Texas. This guy said, three-day emperor of Paris. I just saw your boy Cornyn introduced a Second Amendment bill. It appears favorable, at least. I don't think any bills regarding the Second Amendment are good, so on and so forth. But John Cornyn, you'll see him on the news, has been very, very public about introducing a Second Amendment bill. Now, here is how it has worked historically in this country. When it comes to the GOP, especially senators and primaries, senators get 6-year terms, as you well know. 6 years is a long time. Let me ask you something. I'm going to ask myself the question at the same time. What was the biggest controversy in the month of December? Political controversy. Chris? Corey? Can you even remember? Nothing off the top of your head. Neither of you. Me too. I don't remember. I'm sure we talked about it on the show. I'm sure it was quite the outrage. I'm not even saying it was unimportant, but I don't remember. Today, we have a blessing and a curse. And the blessing and a curse is an abundance of information in news. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. The California wildfires are like the only thing in the news right now. So let's just go with that right there. If it was the year 1980, we're not talking ancient history here. If it was the year 1980 and this fire was raging through California, how would you learn about it and how often? Well, let me go ahead and give it away. You generally wouldn't know unless you turned on a morning news show. And they would do a 2-minute, if you're lucky, a 5-minute segment on it. You'd see some video and pictures and people would be interviewed. And wow, okay, there's that. Maybe in addition to that, maybe you would pick up the local newspaper. We always had a newspaper delivered to our house. And the newspaper would have one article about it. Probably wouldn't even be a full page. Fires rage through California, even if it was on the cover. Okay, one article probably would be on the front page, one news story. Then, what else are you going to learn about it throughout the day? Nothing. We're not talking internet. We're not talking smartphones here. If your friends are talking about it, it would be a short conversation. Hey, Marty, did you see the fire? Yeah, it's crazy. Say a prayer for those people. But that's it. But today, because of social media, because of 8 million podcasts, of this show, everything else, you can consume as much of it as you want. You can immerse yourself in the biggest stories, you can sit all day long and look at California wildfire videos and pictures and articles. And did you say this and that? We're pulling up old DEI ads from the LA Fire Department. You can sit and consume news cycle after news cycle after news cycle, and you can immerse yourself in it. But because you can immerse yourself in every single news cycle, you, me, myself included, we tend to forget the last news cycle, the last outrage which we immersed ourselves in. That is our condition now. Now, how that works when it comes to politics is this. I tend to hang on to things. That's part of being a Kelly. It's oftentimes very, very unhealthy, but Kellys don't let slights go easily. I remember the Uvalde school shooting. I remember how horrible it was. I remember we all, you, me, all of us, we immersed ourselves in it. 24, 48 hours. The cops didn't even go in. This is an outrage. The kids are dying. I remember we played the audio. You and I talked about it on the air. And then I remember the savages on the left did what they always do. And they stood on the bodies of dead children. And they began grabbing for guns. It's what they do. I remember Beto O'Rourke. He was running for office here in Texas. He ambushed a press conference where the sheriff was giving an update on the dead kids and started screaming about guns and stuff. Democrats have no shame whatsoever anymore. Immediately gun grabbing. And then I remember Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell announces that he, in response to the Uvalde school shooting, is going to assign somebody to work with Democrats on a gun control bill. And who did he assign to work on that gun control bill? Senator John Cornyn. So while the communist animals were grabbing for your guns, Senator John Cornyn of the state of Texas reached across the aisle, got buddy-buddy with them, and passed gun control legislation. A bipartisan piece of gun control legislation because of John Cornyn. Well, guess who's up for re-election in 2026? John Cornyn. He's up for re-election in a state, Texas, that is quite fond of guns. So what John Cornyn is doing is he is banking on this forgetfulness of all of us, the forgetfulness of not just voters, people themselves. And John Cornyn is going to spend the next 2 years passing Second Amendment bills. We need reciprocal carry all across the country. John Cornyn is going to sound tough on illegal immigration. John Cornyn is going to sound tough on spending. He's already announced he's going to be part of this Department of Government Efficiency with Elon and Vivek. And John Cornyn will have his big, fat, stupid face all over every news channel. This is why we really need these spending cuts. And we got to get more Second Amendment. I love guns. I'm from Texas. And we'll deport some illegals. And John Cornyn is going to spend the next year and a half treating the GOP primary voter as if he's lazy and he's stupid. And the reason John Cornyn is treating the GOP primary voter as if he's lazy and stupid is because, in general, the GOP primary voter is lazy and stupid. And he'll watch the ads on TV. Oh, you see that, Herb? He's fighting for us. Second Amendment. We got to vote for Cornyn again. Now, I will say, I think John Cornyn would be mistaken if he believes the modern GOP primary voter is as lazy and stupid as he has been. GOP primary voters are finally getting better. No, they're not good enough, not near good enough, but they're finally waking up to this scam at least a little bit. It's my job and it's your job to finish waking them up. But that's why you're going to see a lot of John Cornyn in the news. Now, let me give you the bad news. You ready? And you're going to hate this. Probably be mad at me for it. You can email me. I don't care. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Does Trump get involved? And if Trump gets involved in this primary, which way does he get involved? Because I will tell you right now, from the poll numbers I'm seeing already, they're already polling Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton against John Cornyn in a primary. And as of right now, John Cornyn is losing this primary. There is a chance John Cornyn's toast, unless Donald Trump gets involved on Cornyn's behalf. You see, all it's going to take is Donald Trump showing up in Texas, telling Texas primary voters to vote for Cornyn, and that's it, we're done. Cornyn's going to win that re-election campaign. I don't know what Trump will do, I don't know. But he's run cover for guys like Lindsey Graham in the past. I don't know what he's going to do. Hope he stays out of it or backs Paxton. But that is the thing that will doom us. The second you see Trump walking into Texas backing Cornyn, if he does, I'm not saying he's going to. If he does, we're done. That's the kind of thing that hurts, right? We'll see what happens. All right, let's talk about different things. Medals of Honor and the 17th Amendment. Let's talk about why you're out of energy at 3 in the afternoon. Your eyes getting heavy. Coffee pot in the kitchen starting to look better and better and better. It's because your levels are all off. We have mass quantities of estrogen in the water. It's because they're not filtering out all the crap that's in the birth control. We chug estrogen. We shower in it. Men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low. We've lost half of our testosterone in 50 years. You realize that? Chalk, natural herbal supplements, they're going to reverse that naturally. They have female vitality stacks, and they have male vitality stacks, and they have more natural herbal supplements than you can imagine. But personally, I take a male vitality stack. We're talking 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. You won't even feel like the same person anymore. You'll be mad at yourself for all the time you weren't taking it. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. You're about to feel better than you have in years. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
You're just another whining Republican idiot.
Hey, Jesse, let's talk about the repeal of the 17th Amendment. This all change your term limits for a repeal of the 17th Amendment. Yeah, the 17th Amendment is devastating. 17th Amendment is the one. So you see, United States senators, we have this twisted up view of how we get them or how we should get them. Originally, the senators, they were not held up for election, the people of the state. You know, so Texas, the state of Texas wouldn't get to actually go vote for the senator. The state legislature in Texas, they would decide who their senator is going to be. What having them go for elections has done is it has turned them into complete swamp creatures who only live to serve Washington, D.C. And in so doing, Washington, D.C. ensures that their campaign coffers are always full, thus making it extremely difficult to primary out a United States senator. That has been crushing for this country. The Senate is where good ideas go to die. So much of the horrible stuff that happens in our country happens because of the United States Senate. And part of the reason our Senate is so horrible is because of the 17th Amendment. It was never, ever, ever supposed to be this way. It's done almost as much damage as the 19th. Jesse, when you refer to your wife, you shorten her name to Aub instead of Aubrey. First, do you personally call her Rob all the time? And if her name was Helen or Rachel or Michelle, pick any two-syllable names, would you also shorten it? What do I call her? Well, first, almost everyone calls her Ob. That's just kind of how it goes. Goes by Ob. Second, it really depends on whether or not she's angry with me, which oftentimes, you know, as any good husband does, I try to ensure I'm doing something that will aggravate her on one level or another. And then whenever she gets angry with me, did you really take the kids to Jack in the Box before you got home? Then I will actually call her Princess. Princess is the name that's the pet name I give her whenever she's angry, or at least pretending to be angry about something. And then I do something else that absolutely drives her crazy, is whenever she's mad, I reach out and I put my hand on her, like on her shoulder, and I like rub her back or rub her shoulder. And that's when she says, "Don't pet me like a dog just because I'm mad." And the fact that it only makes her angrier only makes me laugh even harder. And then the boys start snickering. And then she does that, that sighing thing. And it puts me into stitches. Jesse, the other day I saw President Biden present the Medal of Honor to seven men from the Korean and Vietnam Wars. How can it take 50 years to decide to make this award? Seems like after a couple years, the impact of the event would gone stale. All right, I touched on this on Tuesday a little bit with Medal of Honor Monday. But first, I'm going to remind you that a lot of people, when combat is hot and heavy, a lot of people do things brave enough. If we're looking at the Medal of Honor as a scale, is it brave enough to meet the minimum requirements? Lots and lots and lots and lots of people do things on the bravery scale that warrant a Medal of Honor. So who actually gets one? If lots of people have done enough to get one, how do they decide only these select few guys get one? Well, like a lot of things in life, a closed mouth don't get fed, as the old saying goes. You have to lobby for it. Family members will lobby for it. Family members, unit members who were there and saw what happened, will lobby for it. Oftentimes, pretty much all the time, you also have to have an officer with enough rank to put you in for the award. Remember that story I told you about John Yancey? One of the biggest studs ever, World War II. I mean, the guy was a beast. And then the Korean War. And in the Korean War, he's just a lion leading his men. He finally gets shot in the face by a Chi-Com. And after he gets shot in the face, he pulls out a gun, kills the Chi-Com, and then reaches up because his eyeball is on his cheek, and he shoves his eyeball back into his head. The guy's basically a superhuman beast. I got so many emails after I read that story about John Yancey by people saying, how did this guy not get the Medal of Honor? There's a lot more to the story that I just said. How did he not get the Medal of Honor? All the officers who could have put him in for it had already been killed. You need lobbying. And sometimes the lobbying takes years. And sometimes, even then, it falls on deaf ears until you know a guy who knows a guy. Who's a senator Trump is close with? Lindsey Graham. Trump is always cozying up with Lindsey Graham, much to everyone's dismay. Well, let's say I was personally friends with Lindsey Graham, which of course I'm not because I don't hang out in the same clubs he does. But let's say I'm personally friends with Lindsey Graham. Maybe I've had an uncle who I thought earned the Medal of Honor for years. Maybe I say, hey, Lindsey, could you put my uncle in? And maybe Lindsey would have dinner with Trump and convince him to give it to him. That's oftentimes how it goes. All right, we'll have more questions in just a moment, such as flying the flag half-staff. Before we do that, let's talk about making sure the memories we have are kept around. Saw some heartbreaking video today from L.A., a lady named Fran was standing out in front of her home, pointing towards where her home used to be. And she's talking about the grandkids loved the home so much. And she was crying and she's pointing to their neighbors. And she said, he lost everything and she lost that. We have so many memories. All those camcorders the camcorder tapes, the film reels, the hard pictures, the ones we used to get, a Polaroids, you're getting your pictures developed. You are one fire tonight away from losing those forever. Legacy Box will digitize all those for you. And then you'll have them forever. Your kids, kids, kids will be able to look at pictures of you on whatever iPhones they happen to have then. And Legacy Box makes it easy. They just send you the box. You put all that stuff in a box and send it back to them. They do everything. You want to be able to pull up pictures of your grandpa on your iPhone? 50% off right now at legacybox.com/Jesse. 50%. Legacybox.com/Jesse. Don't take a chance with those memories. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Dear Dr. Craven, I own a heavy construction company. He said, feel free to apply if this talking thing doesn't work out. I hear you have experience. I do have a little experience. I have given instructions not to lower our flags to half staff whenever a Democrat politician dies. He said, appropriate or lowbrow? Now, it can be both, can't it? I support it. Jesse, do you think we should increase the number increase the members of Congress to give us better representation? The population has increased so much that we really don't have effective representation now, and we can never get a hold of our congressmen. It would also be harder for lobbyists to bribe so many more. Well, we don't have that many examples throughout history of representative governments, but there are examples out there. And I like representative government. I'm a fan. I don't want a king or a dictator or any of those other things. I want to live in a country where I have some say in who governs me. Don't you? However, it can get so big, it can get so vast that, yes, you may consider yourself having more representation, but your voice also would get watered down even more than it already does. Who's a good congressman you love? There aren't that many great ones, but there are some very good ones in there. The Freedom Caucus guys and those types. Who's one you love? A Thomas Massie or someone like that. Let's say you're a big Thomas Massie fan. I think Massie's a stud, but let's say you're a Thomas Massie fan. Well, yes, he has a big district because of population increase. So you may not feel like you know him personally or he talks to you personally. But if you water down his voice, then he has even less power than you do now. And countries historically where their legislature has gotten so big, you know, 500-person legislature, well, nothing ever gets done because you really can't ever form a coalition to do anything. Now, don't get me wrong. The thought of the federal government not being able to do anything sounds wonderful, but at some point in time, it can end up hamstringing you. I don't know that there's a perfect answer, though. What you just said might be reasonable. There's no perfect form of government because governments are made up of men. Governments are made up of men. And here's the reality. Different forms of government work for different periods of time and for different cultures. You know, why didn't democracy work in Iraq? That's what we were going to do. That's what we said we were going to do. Hey, we're going to get rid of this strong man, dictator, piece of trash, Saddam. We'll get rid of him and we'll give you people freedom. Why was it such a disaster and remains a disaster to this day? Well, freedom doesn't actually work for everybody, everywhere. I brought up the Mongols earlier, so making it about the Mongols. Genghis Khan, he had to govern the Asian steppe. The Asian steppe is full, it's much more than just the Mongols, full of a bunch of wild, tough, nomadic horse archer types back when he was taking it over. You have to govern an area like that like a strong man. Period. End of story. It's the only way that works. The Romans, you know this, before they got into emperors, when they were a republic, they would set aside the republic in times of crisis or war, because you want to live in a representative country. I want to live in a representative country until it's time to make quick decisions in times of emergency. And then we don't have time. We can't afford Chuck Schumer and John Cornyn arguing on the Senate floor about whether we do this or whether we do that. That's why America put in the system we have. We're in times of war. Once Congress gives the president the power, which we don't do anymore, but in times of war, we hand over complete control of the military to the president himself. That's why he's called the commander-in-chief. He's not a dictator ever, but in emergency times, like when the country's at war, we built a system in place that we could hand it over to one man. There you go. You have the powers. Prosecute the war. All systems of government don't work at all times, but none of them are perfect. All of them have flaws. Jesse, nobody has ever mentioned the lower wage savings these business owners are pocketing by hiring illegals is comparatively minor. Think how much more they keep by not paying any health insurance. Why pay their medical bill when the taxpayers will? Yeah, look, he's not wrong at all. His name is Russ. He's not wrong at all. It's a huge saving. Big business in America has gotten used to slave labor. Human beings love slave labor, sadly. That's why slavery seems to be a permanent thing. Of course, it's not called slavery as much now. It's just cheaper foreign workers. But that's, of course, what it is. Human beings, when they lose any moral compass, when they stop looking at their fellow human beings as unique, God-breathed souls, When you're just flesh and blood, when you're just labor, then you want to get it as cheap as you can possibly get it. You want to get as much work as you can and pay as little for it as you can as soon as you get to a place where you don't value human beings, human life. Human beings, all of them. Now, 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago, human beings, they're conditioned to like slavery. It's awful, absolutely awful, but that's part of who we are. And yeah, big business in this country has gotten hooked on it. And that includes a lot of big business GOP types. We get these billionaires, these CEOs, and they sound right wing. And yeah, absolutely, let's deport the illegals. And maybe they'll even come out as pro-life. Or no, we do need to lower taxes. And we find ourselves cheering. Yeah, it's so nice. We got a rich, powerful guy on our side. Oftentimes, that rich, powerful guy is still a guy who wants slave labor. Looks better for the bottom line. Helps that bonus at the end of the year. That's the truth. I ran into it when I was running for Congress. I told you that story many times. When the big rich powers that be, the big GOP donors in my area were trying to figure out if I was really as right-wing crazy as they thought, they didn't pull me into a meeting and ask my positions on abortion, which of course are considered extreme. They didn't ask me about taxes. They didn't ask me about government spending. They didn't ask me about any of that stuff. The only thing they were concerned with was, hey, are you are you super serious about deporting all the illegals? I mean, surely we can just deport one or two, right? We don't have to deport all of them, of course. And of course, many, many, many of these guys, they owned or were running companies that use slave labor. The hotel industry uses a lot of slave labor. You find any industry that has a lot of manual labor hands in it, you will find a lot of illegals working in that industry. And the people running those companies, if they don't have any sense of morality at all, they want to keep paying $7 an hour instead of $15 an hour. That's the ugly truth of it. All right. We have one segment left. We'll do some sound bites and then a couple more emails and we'll check out of here. All right. Hang on.
Missed out?
catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. All right. I didn't play these at all. I just kind of didn't get to them. I was more focused on the Ask Dr. Jesse question. But Trump has been out there every day giving these long press conferences answering questions. It's almost bizarre to have somebody as president who actually shows up and answers questions about things now. It's quite refreshing. Trump's apparently going to give up the goods on the drones.
I'm going to give you a report on drones about one day into the administration, because I think it's ridiculous that they're not telling you about what's going on with the drones. And it's not only with me. Glenn was telling me today that in Virginia they have drones all over the place, too, and nobody's reporting it. I don't know why they're not.
Trump says he's going to give us a skinny on that. Between that and the declassification of the JFK files, which he promised, this might get extra spicy. I'd like to know specifically what the deal is with the drones. I already told you before what I was told. He went on, said this.
Well, do I have to define it for you? Look, all no, hell will break out. If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Can you elaborate?
And it will not be good for Hamas. And it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given them back a long time. They should have never taken them. There should have never been the attack of October 7th.
That's Trump talking about our hostages. Remember, there are American hostages being held in Gaza. That's a big deal. And these people never talk about it. The people in charge never talk about it. This is how, Russia still has our people. Russia has people of ours. Why is this not priority one? Because that's just not how Democrats do things anymore. It's freaking awful. I can't wait till Trump was very good at that last time, getting our people out of dumps where they've been grabbed. I can't wait to have round two of that. Here we go.
One of the things we're going to do is we've got to fix the election so that we get honest counts and they get done by 10 o'clock in the evening or something thereabouts. They have places where they're still counting votes.
I'll tell you something about California, because obviously California is in the news, and California is blue, and we talk about Democrat rule. I have a lot of friends in California, and they say the cheating is so rampant there, they're doubtful about the future. This stuff has to be tightened up. It has to be tightened up. There is obviously cheating in elections in a lot of places in this country. No, it's not everywhere. No, that's not an excuse to sit at home on your fat butt with the stupid, dumb thing. Every election stolen. That was obviously proven to be wrong, just as I told you it would be. We can overcome, we can win, but there are places, extremely blue places in the country, where they have rigged up the system so they can find as many votes as they need to find in the days and weeks after Election Day. You cannot maintain a free society like that. You simply cannot. The reason it takes so long to count votes is Democrats want it to take so long to count votes so they can cheat. That is as simple as the answer could possibly be. In third world dumps across the planet, they do same day voting on paper ballots. They count it all, and the results are in that night. We are the wealthiest, most technologically proficient country in the world, and it takes a month in California to count votes. That's because you're cheating in elections. That's something that needs to be dug into. Now, as I said before, I am extremely skeptical as to whether or not the federal government can do anything about it. And when I say that, people respond and they say, no, they can pass a same-day bill. They can pass this bill. They can pass that bill. They can pass an ID requirement bill. No, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I know that if you wrote the bills, if I wrote the bills, that they could pass a simple, single-subject bill that would address this problem. When is the last time you saw a single-subject bill on anything? A broken Congress like the one we have doesn't pass single subject bills. What they pass are these massive bills. And if someone brought up a good bill, let's say I did. Let's say we're going to pass the Jesse Kelly Act. That'd be cool.
don't shake your head, Chris. Let's say we're going to pass the Jesse Kelly Act. And the Jesse Kelly Act says, one bill, one page, you are required to show government ID before you're allowed to vote in an election. You'd be all game for that, right? I'd be all game for that. Well, here's what would happen with that bill. If it didn't get thrown into the paper shredder immediately, it would get attached to some big monstrosity of a bill. And then they would hold Congress people, they'd hold their feet to the fire where they'd put all kinds of garbage in the bill, but they'd add my bill to that bill. And they'd say, well, I guess you don't want people to show ID to vote. Our Congress is broken and we have to act as if it is broken. I mean, lots of things are broken. That's why I tell you to buy gold, I should note. Freaking monetary system is shattered. And they're still printing and printing and printing and printing and printing. Please tell me you've taken some steps to protect yourself. You do not have to go crazy. Don't go crazy. But don't lose all of your retirement when the bubble pops either. Don't do that. Get a hold of Gold Co. Gold Co's been around for freaking ages. They've won awards over the last 10 years. Who gets an A-plus rating for the Better Business Bureau? Gold Co. does. You can trust Gold Co. And they're offering deals. 10% instant match and bonus silver on qualified purchases. Things like that. See what they can do to protect your retirement, to get physical gold and silver in your hands, which is always a good idea. Again, you don't have to go nuts. Some basics. JesseLikesGold.com is where you go for that, all right? JesseLikesGold.com.
And now...
Oh, one more thing. Trump on the January 6th...
When they talk, you know, there was never charges of insurrection or anything like that. But if there were... This would be the only insurrection in history where people went in as insurrectionists with not one gun. Okay? And let me tell you, the people that you're talking about have a lot of guns in their home for hunting and for shooting and for entertainment, a lot of good reasons. But there wasn't one gun that they found. And why didn't they find the bomber, the pipe bomber? You know, they know who the pipe bomber is. The FBI knows who it is.
I like what I'm hearing so far.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
California's incompetent Democrat leadership results in 4 million without power. A reminder that California, if it was its own country, would be the fifth wealthiest country on the planet. Californians should be dripping in everything. Cheap energy, you name it. Instead, it's ridiculously expensive. Brownouts, blackouts, the fire hydrants don't work because you keep voting for Democrats. Trump is bringing back the Monroe Doctrine. Sounds good to me. Justin Trudeau whines that he was forced to resign because of disinformation, right-wing attacks. It always comes down to that. I just couldn't censor enough people. You and your freedom and all that, being able to say whatever you want, has hurt me. You, put your phone down. Go enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your family. All the problems will be here on Monday, all right? That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.